Hey, TJ. I just finished listening to your audio. And I really, really like hearing you talk about what you're interested in. Of course, I listened all the way through. I really do, so. And I had a really good time last night as well. Actually, it was awful. Well, it was not awful at all, but it was awful because I was comfy and I was trying to go to sleep, but at the same time I was so I loved hearing you read so much that I was like listening. And so I didn't fully go to sleep until l later, and I didn't notice that I had fallen asleep. But thank you for that. I mean, that was wonderful. Thank you. And thanks for liking my sing-alongs. So, so you asked me three questions, but I also have stuff to ramble about. So I'm trying to figure out which one I want to do. I'll do the questions first and then I'll ramble. So, you asked me what non-domesticated animal I would domesticate and keep for myself. Honestly, these days, almost any animal could be domesticated, so I was not sure. So, I am going to use the almighty Google to figure out non-domesticated animals because. What the heck? I'm so confused. How rude. Wikipedia, I said non-domesticated. I swear I can talk. I said non-domesticated, not domesticated. And it goes, oh, here's a list of domesticated animals. And I said, oh. See what we're doing today. Sorry, there are a lot of animals. I feel like one that I liked a lot was I know my best friend growing up, she used to want a liger. A lion tiger genetic hybrid. She used to want that. I'm kind of wary of big cats. I'd rather not have a big cat. Like, I don't even really truly like normal sized cats. I don't hate them. It's more like a just not really my thing. I got scratched by a cat when I was a kid. But anyway, I guess I don't know if it's non-domesticated anymore, but when my mom was younger, she had a boa constrictor, and I kind of would like a snake because they're graceful. Kind of scary, and I don't know, they just look so cool. And I enjoy reptiles. I never had any reptiles, but I thought they were cool. I can't tell if that's a knock on my neighbor's door or on my door. No one ever comes to my door, it doesn't make any sense. If there's someone at the door, I hope they go away. Because I'm lazy. Anyway, let's see, what was the second question? What was the second question? Sorry. Sorry for the yawning. Yes, that is my next door neighbors. They're coming in clear. Anyway, your second question was, oh, if I could make a word. I think I would make a word that exists in another language but doesn't exist in English. Like there are so many words that we just don't have. Or better, I would bring back an old word. Yes, I would. Like there's this website called the Frontistory, which means a thinking place coming from the Greek frontisterion, and that's pretty cool. And it's so cool because it's got words like abat-jour, which means a skylight or device to direct light into a room. Like what? I would rather bring a word back. One of my favorite words for a long time was perambulate, and it just means to walk, coming from the Latin stems per, which means through, and ambulo, ambulare, ambulatis, no, ambulatis, ambulatus? Yeah, ambo, ambulare, ambulare. Yeah. My conjugation is not what it was. But it's the truth. Yep, it means walk, so, to walk. I loved that word, perambulate. Perambulate and penultimate. Penultimate means next to last. And I learned that from a series of unfortunate events, which is one of my favorite books. Speaking of which, I have read Evil Genius. It's a great book. It was really good. I liked how it wasn't very predictable. Yeah, I like that book too. I don't think I ever told you what my one of my favorite books is. I think I shall. One of my favorite books is A Clockwork Orange. If you have never read A Clockwork Orange, you probably it would be awesome if you picked it up because now the Kubrick film tries to do it justice, and I think it does in a lot of ways. But there's just nothing for me compared to the book itself. It's got the interesting language of it. They speak this language called Nadsat, which goodness knows what. It's more like what, Russianized, I think, English. It's really weird, but yeah, it's so cool. And you learn the language as you go on. And they got a glossary in the back, but I never used it because I wanted to figure out what it meant. And the more I read it, the happier I get about it. Even though it's kind of about, it's about a teenager in a world run by juvenile delinquents, basically. And they do horrible, horrible things. And they revel in it. They are too happy to do all these terrible, terrible things. A Clockwork Orange seeks to think about, the question, is being good really being good if there's no choice? If I would not mind reading this to you. I've always wanted to try reading it outside out loud because it's so weird. But actually, no, I wouldn't do that because if you're not looking at the words on the page, it's a little hard to keep a handle on the repetition of the language because it doesn't slow down, it just goes. And it's not a long book, but for me, it's a classic. And yeah, I just rambled on that, but it's so good. They're being, I wonder if I'm that loud for them. If so, I'm sorry. They might be starting early with their festivities. What's interesting is they're singing the song I auditioned with today. Oh, you had a third question. I'm so sorry. Romantic plays. I said before, I don't really think about this sort of thing very often, so you might have to give me a minute to consider all the options because there are a ton of places you could go with somebody. I don't know. There are places that I've gone to where I thought, huh, this would be lovely to go with somebody, but nowhere like straight up romantic. They're just things I enjoyed and would like to share with somebody. Like simple stuff, you know, like an art museum. Or an old bookstore. It's not that romantic, but if I was thinking more like Valentine's Day, like really romantic, it would be somewhere high up. Either a, tall building or a mountain, although goodness knows why I would want to climb a mountain. Somewhere you could have a good view and look out at the world with the person. I really like Orange is the New Black. I don't know if you've ever seen it. If you ever want to see it, if you ever want to watch it with me, it's a really good show. I was not prepared for the amount of lesbian sex in the show, but the best part is it doesn't like revolve around that. It's not like an HBO show where they use gratuitous sex to, you know, get more viewers. Like, it's actually a really well-written show with a diverse cast of women, and I get all happy about women and diversity, and you know this, so you know it's one of my favorite shows. And it's genuinely funny, and it heartbreaking at times. It's just, oh, so good. Love it. Anyway, one of the characters, her name was Poussée, with accent on doigt. But she had a love, and they were laying in bed together. She was military, and her father was stationed in Germany, and she met this German girl, and they were in bed together, just cuddling. And the German girl says to Poussée that there's a saying about love, that it's not gazing at each other, but gazing off in the same direction. And for some reason, that really stuck with me. And so, it would be somewhere where we could gaze off in the same direction together. And that's about as romantic as I'm gonna get today. sorry. So that's your questions, and I have a ramble. This is before I have to start getting started on my homework and working on my piece, because according to Blackboard, which you hate, I kind of really love it, because otherwise I would be failing all my assignments, because I am not that great at remembering things unless I write it all down. Where is it? I'm not looking forward to this. Let me look. It'd be just my luck if I had like next class or something. Just my luck. What's today? Today is the 5th. Oh, good. Thank God. I don't have to lead until. Where is it? Where is it at? I have. September 25th is the day when I have to workshop. I have weeks to write a piece or two, just to start. It doesn't have to be a finished piece, but I'm so nervous. I can't do it. I mean, I can do it, but I can do it, but I'm so nervous about my writing. The idea behind creative nonfiction, like I told you, is to make your life, is to try and make sense of the events that happen to you in an entertaining way. Like, if you've ever read David Sedaris, I have two of his books, so if you ever want me to, like, read one of his little essays, I will. But he's really good at making life funny and interesting and not boring at all. A lot of people think nonfiction and they think boring. They think biographies and dusty old men writing stories about other dusty old men. But it's just really hard for me to try and make my life interesting. So I'm looking through, because I just got back from my audition. I auditioned for the Note Accords, and my heart was beating so fast. I don't know if you've ever auditioned or tried out. Yes, you have. You probably have for something before, but it is really nerve-wracking for me. It doesn't matter how prepared I am, and it doesn't matter how nonchalant I was 2 seconds ago about this audition. As soon as I'm in the room with the people, my heart just starts beating like a jackhammer, and my voice gets this vibrato that I did not put in it, and it just awful. There's this guy in there that I know, and we know each other, but we don't know where from. So that was funny. They seemed like really nice people. There was about 12 of them in the room. They had me warm down, which is they saw how low I could sing, which is B flat, B. And then they, no, it was a G. No, E. Wow, I promise I can do music, but I can sing a low E, which I guess is okay. And then up on the top, I can sing a G, which apparently is really good because most of the other girls could only go up to B. So my range was okay. I don't know if you're following any of this, but I'm just gonna ramble for you. And then after that, they had me match pitch, which is they do three notes and you have to sing them back from the piano. So they'll just go do do do, and then you have to go do 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 back at them. Just to double check that you know what you hear when you hear it, to see how good your ear is. They did three of those and it was really short. And then they asked me what I was gonna sing for them. And I was like, ah, chandelier, I'm regretting everything and I wanna go home now. I didn't say that, but I really was regretting it because I was so scared. And I'll sing it for you because it was really short. And then I stood in front of them. I took a deep breath and I was scared. And I said, it goes like, party girls, don't get hurt, can't feel anything. When will I learn? I push it down, push it down. I'm the one for a good time call. Phone's blowing up, ringing my doorbell. I feel the love, feel the love. 1 2 3, 1 2 3, drink. 1 2 3, 1 2 3, drink. 1 2 3, 1 2 3, drink. Throw 'em back till I lose count. I'm gonna swing from the chandelier, gonna live like tomorrow. When I'm holding off for dear life, won't look down, won't open my eyes. Fill my glass full until morning light, cause I'm just holding on for tonight. Help me, I'm holding on for dear life, won't look down, won't open my eyes. Keep my glass full until morning light, cause I'm just holding on for tonight, on for tonight, on for tonight. Actually, I sang a lot less than I just sang for you. Because I got nervous. I didn't choke as badly as I thought I would. And yeah, I was scared about that. And what else happened? So I got back, and you know, I don't normally do much anyway, but you know, I don't know, I got kind of sad today. I got a little lonely today. Well, I get a little lonely a lot of days. So that's not, I don't mean to complain, but I thought about you and I was like, oh, well, someone will hang out with me tomorrow. I'm being silly, but I ran into one of my friends today, Andrew. He's this guy from the theater department, and he is wonderful. He's really nice. He had some boy problems last year. There's like this guy he really, really liked. And I don't know what happened with that. I don't remember if he was still in the closet or something. And so they couldn't, like, be... I don't know. It was complicated. I still haven't asked him how that turned out. Dang it. But anyway, I ran into him. And he was carrying a giant glass jug that was meant for apple juice. And it was filled with water. And I was like, wait, what? Because... last year when we were in Hairspray together, he had a, what was it? It was a liquor bottle full of water. As they wanted to, you know, reuse the bottle. But I'm like, wow, people are about to really think you're an alcoholic. And he does like his drink. He does like his drink. And I told him I was 21 now. And he said, yes, we're going to the bars. And I was like, oh, because... but I would go with him. I would hang out with him. But personally, I'm more of the kind for, you know, quiet night in than going out and, like, doing things and having to be, I don't know. It's weird. It's like I'm the biggest homebody in the world. But I also am like, huh, I've got nothing to do. But at the same time, it's good that I have nothing to do, because if I had something to do, it would tire me out like crazy. So I ran into him, which was fun. We have this mutual, well, she's my acquaintance. She's his friend, Breezy. Yes, her parents actually named her Breezy. Breezy, she was stage managing her first show at our school, which is still showing tomorrow, so I might stop by there because it's free and that's great. We have two theaters. We have our Black Box Theater, and then we have our big theater for main stage shows. But anyway, so I was talking to him, and that was nice. But I came back here and was trying to figure out what the hell I was going to write about. This is long. I understand if you're not listening at this point. But we were given honest to goodness reporter's notebooks. Official flip the thing recorder's notebooks for our class. And it's for extra credit. And we're supposed to write literary sketches in there. And if you don't know what that is, it's like doodles, but with words. And he wants us to sort of take stuff from real life and sort of just snatch it, like a description you really enjoyed that came to your head, a line of dialogue that you thought might help you, observations, that sort of thing. And I went outside in the compass. Now, our school has the compass and it has the commons, and the commons is further down, but the compass is an outside sort of thing. And it's not that big, but a ton of people go there. And in the compass is our main dining hall, Schaefer, which is only edible on days when parents come by. And, well, it was nighttime. And I went ahead and I sat on one of the chairs in front of Schaefer. They have these, like, chairs that have four attached seats and a weird umbrella thing that has holes in it, so I don't know what that would do. So I sat and I wrote. Maybe it'll help me figure out what I want to write about if I read it. But I don't know if you want to hear it, so I'm nervous about that. But fuck it. I'll tell you anyway. Because I'm not sure if it's any good. So, if it sucks, please tell me. Okay? Anyway, this is just how it went. I just sort of wrote it as it happened. That is, if you're still listening. So, God, I'm nervous to read this. Being outside in the heat feels like being submerged in lukewarm bathwater. Sweat beads on my forehead mimic the condensation of my water bottle. The rickety chair I'm sitting in forces me to do a dance of adjustment. I feel cemented into position once I find my balance. A breeze caresses my left cheek like a silk scarf, and too soon is gone. Another friendly gust of satin tickles the backs of my knees as the angry red and yellow eyes of the campus connector shock my eyes upward from the page, in time to see two young guys in well-worn t-shirts, one wearing a red baseball cap on backwards, slam against the double doors of Schaefer in agony. The water I have is cool, but it won't be for long, so I tip my bottle back and let the liquid fill my mouth, make waves in the ocean shore of my tongue, and slowly let the tide go down my throat to cool my blood. A mourning party for the closing of Schaefer has gathered. 20 men and women lament the loss of their Labor Day meal. After a few moments of processing their grief, they all turn away in small, dejected groups. The crickets are calling for their kind, and all sounds are hushed, and cars are gently going over the road with a smooth, scratchy purr. The footsteps of the men and women are not urgent, but purposeful all the same. The gentle clip-clop of flip-flops against the cobblestones, the nearly inaudible scrape of quieter tennis shoes on or ballet flats against the pavement. A young man is sandwiched between another young man and woman. The young man's crisp white button-down shirt and black name tag tell a large chapter of his story without me having to overhear him. Three lanky girls pass them on the bench, and the not-so-quiet words of one of the girls reaches me, and I feel her scorn through the air. Oh my God, did you hear him? I see God's light in you. The answering titters of her friends get louder as they get further away. And suddenly I remember something my dad always used to wearily tell me. The empty can makes the most noise. A little girl, no more than 6 or 7, is sitting at one of the tables hunched over with a pencil in hand. Shelves of stalactites made of bright white beads make her head a national landmark. She and the man who is with her are waiting at the doors of Schaefer for someone. My left hand grips my fountain pen too tightly, like the words might escape if I do not pin them down. My right hand is curled up tight, useless and stiff, a forgotten appendage. As I write, I feel a twinge of discomfort in my right shoulder. I realize that I have hunched up my right side to give my left more freedom. I feel my body groan in protest as I slowly disentangle myself from my impromptu contortion. it probably was not that good. And that's okay, because I was just sketching. The guy who was sandwiched between the girl and guy, there were these two Mormons, and they sort of like pounced on him right as I was sitting down. I could hear them, and we have Mormons on our campus every single day, and yeah, every day. So it was a girl and a boy Mormon, and they were talking to him on one of the benches, and they were there for almost the entire time I was there. Thanks for tolerating that. I'm sort of embarrassed. But, I don't know what I'm going to write about. It has to be something that matters to me. Something, an event that haunts me, or something I want to say. I don't know. It's hard to write when you don't even know what your voice is. I'm going to be redoing my hair tomorrow, and you know that. So I'm going to be waking up pretty early. So please don't hesitate to Skype me. So I can probably help you go back to sleep, and then we can talk later. Because you need your sleep, you know. No matter how much I'd like to talk to you all day, too. We'll both be wrecks if we can. If we keep talking for so long on days we have stuff to do the next day, unfortunately. Because I really, really enjoy talking to you too. It never gets old. Yeah, this is long, so sorry about that. It's 8 o'clock my time, so you probably just got into work. Sorry about dealing with the 18 and up crowd. I would like to go skating, but I wouldn't like to bother you. I haven't gone skating in forever. I'm rambling on and on. This is never going to end unless I end it. So, I will talk to you tomorrow. And, yeah. I hope you have a good night regardless. I hope you find something to enjoy. Yeah. Now I've got to go wash my, not my hair, but my Marley hair. I have to go wash that and set it out to dry because I'm doing it tomorrow. And, I don't know what I'm gonna eat. I'm so lazy. I am so lazy right now, Tim. And so you're going, do I want to eat? Is this a thing that needs to happen? Can I not? Maybe I'll get something with one of my roommates. I don't know. Well. Can't wait to talk to you again. Well, goodbye, TJ.